I noticed on the website or on Facebook, not that I'm on Facebook, but it said there was a big announcement. Did y'all hear that? There was a big announcement? Did y'all hear there was a big announcement? So there is a big announcement. So over there where you see two soccer goals, there's about to be a brand new building. Everybody shout, rise up and build. Okay, so I got to give you a little history. And if this is your first time here with us, just hang with me a little bit, because I believe the message the Lord gave me will apply to you too. It's not just about building a building. This is for the home folks, but it's for everybody. We had a capacity crowd first service, and so we need to get some of the people to come over to see you all in second. You need to all reach out to them, get some of them to come over here, balance this thing back out. But so the truth is, when we got done, because of what time it is, I'm trying to hurry, but I'm going to slow down just a second. All right, so back in 1963, I was born. No, kidding. In 1993, I moved down here. And over by Taco Bell on Highway 20, there was a furniture store. It was called Austin's Furniture. Do y'all remember it? It burnt down not very long ago. I was so distressed because we were going to buy that and turn it into a museum, because that's where Pastor Ron and I fell in love. And so that's where I lassoed her. And so I was always joked and said I was going to buy it for a museum, but now it's the new building. I don't want it. And so, but that's where we started, 1993. Started with four people. Wasn't I cute? Oh, look at that. Rhonda, that's some long hair, girl. Yeah, look at those adoring eyes. Oh, that's sweet. And so, okay, focus. So when we started with four people, I had a dream of all this. This is what the Lord sent me here for, was to have a church, but also to have a place where God can move. To bring a move of God is part of my equipment. And so that's why we contend for the Spirit of God moving. And so back then, we started, we grew. There was a time that in the furniture store, they began to talk to me and told me, you're going to have to get out. We were leasing month to month, and they're like, you have to get out. We need your space. And so we didn't have the money. But we began to look, and God supernaturally gave us the ability to buy an A-frame building for $250,000, which was back then was like saying $20 million. With a congregation of about 40 people, we stepped out, and we bought that building. Over a period of time, we renovated every millimeter of it. We used every inch of it. It had three buildings on it, and we renovated everything. And so we used it. We grew. Should have done three services, but at that time, we began then to look for the next move. The Lord began to deal with us. And so we began to search high and low for land to build on. And every time we were to make an offer on something, somebody would come in and swoop it out from underneath of us. I got really discouraged. I was going to get my real estate license, and I was going to, because I was just going to go stand on property and sell them, because literally it happened so many times I got frustrated. And we were at a time, I don't know if it was the meeting that was so full, that capacity over there, I think was 225 legal, but one night Dr. Varala was over there, I think it was the night that there were 340 people in there, and we were praying the fire marshal wouldn't come, and but she leaned over to Rhonda, and she said, you need a new building, and Rhonda doesn't duh people, but she said, yeah, we know, and basically she's like, well, where is it, and Rhonda's like, we don't know, and she's like, what do you mean you don't know? And she's like, well, he won't tell us. And then Dr. Varala said, I'm going to ask him. And Rhonda said, be our guest. Ask him. And so the next night or the next couple days, she came by. And she was so frustrated, she said, he won't tell me. And she said, all he'll say is you drive by it. And so I would get frustrated at that time. And as I was praying one time, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, there is an angel standing on your property holding it for you. And when you're ready for it, I'll let you know. And so we used to drive by this piece of property all the time. And it just didn't ever stand out to us, 17 and a half acres. So one day we came and we stood on it. And you can believe me or not, I sensed the presence of an angel. And they tried to buy this one out from under us too, but they couldn't do it because this was ours. And so we supernaturally got this, and so we began to believe God for it. We paid $1.5 million for it, but the church, even the size it was, we supernaturally paid this down. And then 3 or 4 years ago now, we built this sanctuary, and we also had the A-frame still. And so we built this part, and we did it by bonds. And so if you weren't around for that, it was just a whole lot of fun. And so it was awesome. It was the way God, how we had to do it. So we built that. We moved in. We started to begin to grow even more. And then we sold the A-frame, and we built the back half on. It was about $1.1 million, and we paid all cash. Hallelujah. Thank God for all cash. Hallelujah. And so while we're building it, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, and the other building is right behind it. And I said, you're ringing the wrong number. It was too much. And then Robert even kind of felt that was going to happen. And honestly, after we built this building, I was tired. I had some things then happen in my life, and I was just tired. And I just didn't want to deal with it. I'll just be real. Just didn't want to deal with it. And so the Lord began to deal with me, because what he wants, and he knows that I will obey him. I couldn't see it in the natural. I didn't know why. And so I know I'm talking a lot about Dr. Varallo, but the Lord uses her a lot to confirm things in our heart. So 2 years ago when she was in, we were picking her up at the hotel. We're going to have to get shorter hotel drives. But we picked her up at the hotel, and she began to describe where it was, and there's a building coming, and it's really soon, and you don't want to do it. I don't remember all she said, but then I pulled up and showed her where the two soccer things was, and she's like, she was talking in tongues, but she thought she said something in English, and so we got it all there. Well, then comes 6 months later when she comes back, then we're picking her up from the same place, and then we have this other drive, and when she starts praying in tongues, because that's what she does, I'm like, oh no, here we go, we're going to get the building thing again. But this time, she begins to pray out and describe what basically, at that time, probably Pastor Rhonda and I had only talked about together, and maybe some of the staff. Nobody knew. And she began to describe in detail what you're about to see as a confirmation. And she told us by the Spirit of God, which he told me, he said, don't build this one in stages, build everything, get what I want you to have up front. Do it all, do it right. And then he began to talk to me about the purpose. So I want to show you a video, and then I'm going to come back and preach. Took a little bit longer with the introduction. Here's this, and then we're going to get into some word that'll help you individually and help us as a church.
We're getting ready to build once again. It is amazing to watch God do his thing and watch him grow Cornerstone Word of Life Church as he grows the kingdom of God. We're standing on the piece of land right now where the building is gonna go, and it's so exciting. Cannot wait till it's done. We've got a quick video to show you what the outside's gonna look like and what the inside is gonna look like of this brand new, beautiful facility. So this is the front of the building. It's got a lot of glass on it. It's got this great modern look to it, and we are super excited about how the exterior of this building looks. As you come around to the back side of the building, you're gonna see our outdoor amphitheater that we're building. This is gonna be a great spot for weddings, movie nights with Doma underneath the stars, men's fellowship, outdoor concerts with the youth and young adults. It's just a great outdoor space. We also have our balcony. You can see some patio furniture up there where people can just come out and leisurely hang out together. As we come in the front of the building, you'll see our staircase and elevator that takes you upstairs to the gaming area. Next, we see our lobby space. This is a great open room that gives you a nice big feel of this space. Off to the right, we have Worship 2. This is the smaller of our worship rooms, but it seats about 100 people, and it's gonna be a great place for us to get together. Next, to the left, we have our large worship room, Worship 1. When the chairs are out, this seats about 266 people. It's a great place where we're going to get together for worship as a big group. Wonderful messages are going to be preached. We're so excited about what God is going to do in the lives of so many people in this room. Also, what you don't see is when the chairs are taken up, this room doubles as an indoor basketball court. Now we're headed upstairs to where the gaming area is. Again, this is a wonderful spot for fellowship. Any ministry within the church will have access to this room where they can come play pool, hang out on the couches. We'll have video games up there, ping pong. What you don't see in the rendering is we'll have a foosball table up there. It's just a great space to get together, to talk as iron sharpens iron, fellowship with each other, get to know each other. And this is something that we are so excited to have in this facility. As we walk through the gaming area, you can see the exit right there that leads out onto the patio that overlooks the amphitheater where we'll have our weddings and our concerts. It's just a great space for everything we do at Cornerstone. As you can tell, this is going to be a beautiful facility. We're so excited about this building and about this project. We want you to get excited with us, and let's rise up and build.
Hallelujah. Well, just to give you, because this is the way I've always done things, we just try to tell you everything you need to know. So, like I said, we paid cash for the one behind us, this building. We did the bonds for, and so we raised $3.3 million to do that. But what we're doing is, who is a member of Redstone Federal Credit Union? Wow, I am shocked. Like, first service, there was 80%. There's a number of you. Who's not? I didn't know I could be. And so now if you raise your hand and you want to be, you can. Because Redstone is refinancing this and giving us the finances to do the building in the back. So with that, I don't want you to let down. I don't want you to lay down. Because really what we're believing for this one, is we need you over the next year. We need some large givings, offerings at the beginning, but we're believing God for our part for only $150,000, which is really the least thing we've ever done. But because they're putting the two loans together, they're providing the loan for that. How many of you know that at Cornerstone, we don't like debt, right? Right? So, but when we're doing this, is the way the Lord led me to do it, then after we get it all built, then we're going to kill the giant. All right, because that's what we've always done as a church, and that's just the way the Lord has led me to do it. But I do need you to believe God. So this is what we're going to do. The ushers are going to pass out some things and just pass out to anybody. If you don't want it, you can leave it. So if the ushers could pass those building things out right now, just pass them out to everybody. You can lift your hand, whatever you want to do, but you can pass them down the road. I just want you to pray and see what your part is. I just want you to pray and see what your part is. Everybody has a part. We need some one-time large offerings to get started. We're believing God for $150,000. But as it's built over the next year from October to October, that's what we're going to do. So I want to minister to you as you're receiving those, something the Lord gave me. And so this is the deal. While we were away praying, the Lord began to talk to us about purpose, that everything has a purpose. Every meeting we do has a purpose. Our life has a purpose. You have a purpose. Everybody say, I have a purpose. Everybody say, purpose. Purpose. So a purpose, when you figure out the purpose for something or for someone, then it directs their steps or it directs their use. So if something has a purpose, what's the purpose of this building? And so the Lord gave me a threefold purpose that I want to give to you as well as I did to the first service, because we're all in this together. And this is what I know. If I can get everybody in unity, if I can get everybody in one accord, where there's unity, the Bible says the Lord commands his what? The Lord commands his blessing. And where the blessing of the Lord is, what does the blessing do? The blessing makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. And so if I can get everybody in unity on this and everybody doing their part, I'm not asking you to do anything. You know, a lot of times, especially when we built this building, they wanted me to bring in a professional fundraiser. Well, I believe the Holy Ghost is the professional fundraiser. I don't do professional fundraisers. I do Jesus. I do leading of the Holy Ghost. So everyone in this room, especially those of you that this is your church, then you're called to this vision. And when I tell you the purposes of this building, when I tell you what the Lord told me and how it all came about, I just want you to be able to connect to it and then believe God. So everybody just take that. You read over it, see what the Lord wants you to do, and here we go. And so there's a purpose to everything. And so this building has a purpose. So we got a little bit behind because I really did drag my feet. Just being blunt with you. Is anybody in this room ever drugged their feet when the Lord told them to do something? All right. So I'm among friends, right? And so I couldn't see it in the natural, and I've been doing this a long time, but thank God for God's mercy and his goodness, and he helps you out. All right? And so when I realized that this was God, it was not a figment of my imagination, and he was really serious about building now, I began to then position myself. So I asked Pastor Rhonda for a couple of reasons, but this was one of the reasons, is I wanted her to minister on Wednesday nights. And then I went back to leading prayer at noon because I knew we had to get out ahead of this spiritually first. And so at noon prayer, I was leading and I began to pray about the building. And so we prayed about natural things. But as I was doing that, it dovetailed into praying about this generation. And so as I began to pray out this generation about a blaze, about ignite, about torch, because this is what's going to happen. That's going to become the AIM building. This is just going to become the office building. But also what's going to happen is torch is going to move back here. Kinder church or whatever is going to move from there over to there, because in some places, especially in the back, we're having some bottlenecks. And so it'll relieve some things we need to do. And so we're excited about that. But the Lord gave me a three-pronged thing, and I want to give it to you. And I'm going to give you it a little different than I gave it to him in first service. I just felt led to do it different. So I'm going to talk about three areas. I'm going to talk about generations. I'm going to talk about outreach. And I'm going to talk about fellowship. And these are the three purposes the Lord gave me for this building. Now listen very carefully. Whether you're interested in the building or not, even if you're visiting today, the Lord is very serious about all three of these areas. They apply to you individually as well as to us corporately, because he's very serious about this thing. Fellowship is what the first one we're going to start with. Fellowship is something that he is serious about with us to him. How many of you know that God wants to fellowship with you? The Bible even talks about how he came down in the cool of day and he fellowshipped with Adam and Eve. One of the things God was most disturbed about when he called and Adam was hiding is, Adam, where are you? Why? He wanted to fellowship with him. And the Bible talks about our fellowship with the Father, but it also talks about us fellowshipping one another. So those of you who are up in the putting up scriptures, it's all out of order now. All right. And so Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you remember when we released the connect groups, the Lord gave us this scripture. While Pastor Ron and I were praying, he began to talk to me about koinonia. And, you know, as an individual, I don't know that that's my highest thing. I have to work at fellowshipping with other believers. And some of you do the same. Some of you are more gifted at it than others. My wife, she's a fellowshipper. She can, but it's important to God. And so he wants us to fellowship with one another. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42 said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, koinonia, and the breaking of bread and prayers. And the Lord began to deal with me, and he said, you have the bookends very well. You have the doctrine, and you have the prayers. But he said, there's something lacking in your church, and it's called koinonia. And so I didn't know much about it, so I began to study on it. And then he released to me our connect groups, which are groups that cause you to fellowship with one another. And then he said to me, we're talking purpose. Everybody say purpose. What's the purpose of this building? One of the main purposes of this building, it will enhance our fellowship. What they didn't show you, and I don't know if they have a place to show you, is when that large room is cleared out, the one he said also there's basketball goal in there, we can seat so many people and get back to bigger things that we used to do. Because if you were part of the A-frame, you remember that there was a whole lot of fellowship until we had no room to fellowship. I believe in fellowship. I believe in breaking of bread. I believe in koinonia. And so not only that, but it's adding more spaces so that the ministries in the church can use it for fellowshipping. Fellowshipping is very important with one another. You should get a lot of your fellowship with each other. In other words, you should be fellowshipping with people of like Christian faith. The way the world is now, it matters who you hang with. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. You need to hang with people and get not only spiritual food here, you need to get some enhancement. You need to get some strengthening from other believers. It also says this in Matthew 18:20. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name. And so even in a social atmosphere, when believers are gathered together, the presence of God is there. And so what I also want to tell you is this, and we're going to look at something else in just a minute, but one of the things I've always seen the connect groups and fellowship here at the church is what happened to me. I think if you can bring people in, maybe that are away from God, maybe they were hurt at church. We have a lot of good people here. Oh, you said that should have been a bigger amen. We have a lot of good people here. You're good people who love Jesus, who love the Word. And over a ping pong, Dapo, he's right there. Did you know he's the world champion Nigerian? He is Nigerian champion. And he's brought, well, no, he's not. But he was on the Olympic team for the no, he wasn't. So he plays a mean game of ping pong. And I refuse to play him ever again. And so, because he wins. But even as simple as that, how many of you know in a game setting like that, we do that for the men's group. They have a game night once a month. That's going to be available. But you can bring people to that. And it happens every men's fellowship when we do that. People come and they hang out with guys who love Jesus, who are filled with the Holy Ghost, and it draws them in. It's how I was drawn back to church. You often hear about my sister, but I had a best friend named Greg who took me to everything. Football, the church played football. And when the boys were playing football, thank God, I don't know if it happens today, the ladies was making fried chicken. Hallelujah. And picnics and fun stuff. It helped. I believe one of the purposes of this building is to enhance fellowship. It wasn't in the rendering. I don't know if it's in any renderings they have. But the kitchen is about three times as large as the new one we have in the back. So we're going to be able to do some stuff. It'll help during our fall festival that's coming up soon, which is fellowship and outreach combined. It'll help during Easter. It'll help during different things. You know, weddings at the church, he mentioned that. Those are only weddings. The only thing weddings that happens here is just for members of the church only who go through counseling. But it will be available. We've had a number of outdoor weddings over here. I mean, so that amphitheater is going to do a lot. So everybody say fellowship. I would make you say koinonia, but I can barely say it, so I'm not going to make you say it. I want you to see this. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord. Do I got anybody that fears the Lord? Then they that feared the Lord, Malachi 3:16, spoke often to one another. Spoke often to one another. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need me. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I need you. That they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I just see this when people fellowship and just natural, organic, how it then begins to talk about the Lord. You can talk about football and the Lord. You can talk about just ping pong and the Lord. You can talk about pool, that was a great shot, and the Lord. You can gather together and talk about the Lord. And the Lord listens and he remembers. One of the things about fellowship, Hebrews 10:24-25, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now listen, I know that's basically talking about church, but this is the way I've always seen it. If I can get someone to assemble anytime, even for something fun or fellowship, and they're assembled with believers where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. This is important for you, not just for the building. The purpose of the building causes it to function, causes the Lord to be pleased with it. Knowing the purpose of it causes you to be able to get on board. But your purpose in life is also koinonia. God needs you to fellowship one with another. And when you get good at fellowshipping with one another, it also extends you out to fellowship with others to bring them in. Because it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as manner as some is. So then it tells me that he's really also concerned about those not assembling. And if you can get them to assemble for a fellowship or koinonia that's going on over there, something to do with a fall festival or just something else that we're going to have, then you can exhort them to come on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. And we're supposed to be doing this even much more as the day is approaching. I see the purpose of this building. The Lord dropped these three things into my heart. Koinonia is one of the main purposes of it. The second main purpose is outreach. Everybody say outreach. How many know we're all called to save souls? How many know we're all called to reach out? Amen. So everything we do is not only about us. God wants to take good care of you, but he also wants to take care of other people. He wants to bring them into the kingdom of God. And it's amazing what he will use and how he will use it to bring them in. But how many know we quote this every once in a while when we're doing This Is My Bible. Matthew 4:19 says, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you what? Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. So part of the purpose is to fish. The part of the purpose is to reach out. And so we're going to use various things to reach out. The amphitheater is not a hope so, maybe so. The amphitheater is a done deal. Because it's something we've had on our heart to reach out and to minister, not just to youth, not just to young adults, but any kind of thing we can use that for, any kind of concert can bring people in to cause that aren't born again, that get around some of that stuff, could cause them to get born again. I just see that facility being used to bring in people. And it is, it's God's heart for us as a body to reach out. And so if we know that's part of the purpose, so part of the purpose is for us to fellowship. And even that part of that fellowship leads to somewhat of reaching out to people. And then he definitely wants us to use it to reach out. Our fall festival that's coming up is a fellowship, but it's also, I remember the year it rained. Anybody remember that year? In this very room, which I pray never happens again, because Pastor Mark was nervous beyond belief. We had 1,000 people playing games. It was the most fun, horrifying moment of my life. But even that, we'll have that facility. We'd be able to use it in a moment's notice. We changed this one. If you're all here, that was in a moment's notice too. Woo-wee. I'm grateful for the anointing I have to fix things in a second. Hallelujah. But we'd have it. It'd be ready. God wants to use this to reach out. Everybody say outreach. I want that. That's your purpose in your life. And then the third one, yes, it's an aim building. That means ablaze, ignite. But as I began to pray, leading prayer at noon, as I prayed about the building, it led over into torch. Torches are, these are fire groups. You know our fire groups? Torch is first grade through sixth grade. Ablaze is 7th through 12th. Ignite is 18 and up. Well, one of the things we've always done as a church is we've mirrored Madison City Schools of how they divide children. And so next year, we are going to split the youth group into junior high and senior high. That's why there's two worship rooms out there. They'll probably do worship together and split off for teaching. I didn't tell the first service. And then we're going to promote that dude named Cody Edger to, what are we going to call him? Oh, he's going to be the junior high youth pastor and under Robert. So, I didn't tell the first service. But the guy that's always on the screen talking, the guy that I like with really long hair instead of short. Anyway, there he is right there, Cody. Everybody wave at Cody. Hi. He's like, what's going on? You didn't win anything. And so, we're doing that. But as I began to pray, I began to pray about generations. I don't know if any of you remember you were here for the saturation meeting where I spoke from generation to generation. I want to remind you a little bit because this is big. This affects you personally. How many know the devil is assaulting not only our generation, but especially the young adults, the teenagers, and even the children? The devil knows his time is short, and he is assaulting the next generations. They give them names in the world. You know, they call, you know, Generation X, Millennials. I don't know who everybody is. I did know that. It was all in my notes. And when I began to study, God deals with generations. And part of this building, the purpose of it, is to save some generations. And I know that with my whole heart. And I want to talk to you about generations. Because I want to show you first that God deals with generations. Hebrews 3:10 says he was grieved with that generation, the children of Israel. But he called the whole generation. He just didn't say a person. He said he was grieved with that generation. Acts 2:40 says, save yourself from this untoward generation. That word untoward means perverse, wicked, or unjust. Would you say that that's trying to go on today? It's wicked. It's perverse. They're trying to teach your children that what God calls is wrong is right and make you feel guilty for it. But the word of God is the word of God. God has not changed. He calls things an abomination in the old, and he still feels that way. He still feels that way. He calls it an untoward. I didn't know what untoward meant, so I looked at the Amplified. It means perverse, wicked, and unjust. The perverse one, the wicked one, the unjust one is after that those generations. And I say, he shall not have them. And we will do our part. I remember, as I think about generations, in the A-frame building, some of you will remember, there was three buildings over there. We really paid for the A-frame. The church who had it there in their mind, they gave us the two outside buildings. One of them was the original Church of Christ that was built in Madison. It's the first church here. They say it was built in the 1890s. And it was a mess. Had asbestos on the outside. You couldn't even go in it. The other one was another little building that it was piled with trash. The whole thing, you couldn't even walk in it. It was nothing but trash, and it was a mess. And so we began, and the first thing we did was the little building, we turned it into a youth facility. And we made it look as nice as possible. It was a cool youth facility, and we liked it very much. And that's where Robert started his youth ministry. And then eventually, because we were needing it, we renovated the old building. And I remember they wanted me to restore it back to its original state, and it was going to cost tons and tons of money. And I'm like, I'll just tear it down. Now, I made the first service mad, but I really was going to tear it down. It's not historically marked. You say, you don't have any history. I believe in his history. I don't really care too much about some other stuff sometimes. Maybe I should change. I'll keep going. All right. And so but they said, okay, just make it the best you can. So we made it beautiful. It was gorgeous. It had the original 1890 hardwood in it, still does probably. We did some things. I mean, it was gorgeous in there. And I think we had Mark and Verna's wedding was there, and one other thing, I think a New Year's Eve celebration. And then after that, I was just looking at it one day. I was so proud of it. It was beautiful. It literally was beautiful. And I walked out there, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, the youth. He said, you've made him a nice facility. Yes. He said, you've redone the A-frame. He said, and the offices, everything looks good over there. I was like, yes. He said, but what about the children? And I was like, well, what about them? They ain't paying no tithes. No, I mean, I didn't. But they were meeting in the fellowship hall, but I had said, we're not touching it. It's got to stay pretty. And don't let them kids put nothing, you know, their feet on the wall or nothing. Because it's pretty. We're going to use it for fellowships. Keep it nice. And the Lord was just very displeased with me. Because every generation is important to him. And every generation, that's why we do children's ministry here. Because Torch is important to him. Every age is important to him. And I'm going to show you that in the Word. You know, even though maybe some places where the adults pay the money, but you're not the most important thing. We got to make sure the next generation are taught the word of God. And so, you know what I did after that? I didn't even have to think about it. I remember we messed that place up in a good way. We painted mural, we turned it into a Western town. And our beautiful building was now a Western town. And the kids loved it, and they rejoiced over it. Kids were ministered there. They were saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, healed. Their lives were changed. Deanna used to, and Jared, I believe, used to dress up like a Western folk. I mean, we got tired of the Western thing after a while. And then we still had some stuff in there. But when guest ministers come, we would buy 10 plates and 10 cups, try to make it Western-y looking. I don't know, got old. But I'm telling, so, but my priority was the children. I'm talking about purpose. What's the purpose? Well, God has a lot to say about generations. Y'all stick with me because he really wants us to care for the generations. And then it says this in Psalms 112:2. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. So back in noon prayer, when I pray, and when I pray about torch, when I pray about a blaze, when I pray about ignite, I have begun to call them the generation of the upright. I believe in this church, we're going to speak to that generation, and they're going to be known by God, by this community, by everyone they influence. They're going to be the generation of the upright. They're going to represent Jesus. They're going to be saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, healing in their hands, the power of God on their life. And I believe they're going to change some things. But we have to make it, that's our purpose. That's what the building, that's the purpose of it. It's really important because if we don't, let's just look at Judges chapter number 2. We'll just skip to Judges chapter 2. Y'all remember Joshua and Caleb? How many remember the first group? We've been talking a lot about Joshua. How many remember the first group of Israelites could not go into the promised land? You remember that? And they all died in the wilderness. Y'all remember? And then Joshua and Caleb, have you ever heard me tell that they were the youth pastor? Because really, wasn't it 20 years and under? Because remember, the older group said, well, you brought us out here to kill our children. And God says, I'm going to show you. You're all going to die, but I'm going to take care of your children. There's something about young people. There's something about children. There's something about the next generation that God pays a special attention to. He really does. And so Joshua and Caleb did what? They retrained an entire generation. Everybody say generations. They retrained an entire generation. Well, how many know that generation knew God? And so look at Judges chapter number 2, verses 6 through 7. Judges 2, 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance, and they possessed the land. Verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days. Are y'all going to serve the Lord all the days? Amen. They went in, they possessed the land, they served the Lord all the days. This is important, not just for this building, but for where we live, what time we live in, and for what's going on in this nation. If you want to change a nation, you can elect whoever you want, but it's not going to change a nation. I don't care if you think they're the best thing since sliced bread. What is going to change this nation is spiritual. What's going to make it go well is spiritual stuff. I'm not saying just elect any old person. But I'm just saying it's spiritual. Listen, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. So how many know the children of Israel that came in with Joshua, they served the Lord all the days, and it was good. But look at verse 10, Judges 2:10. And also all that what? Generation, he deals in generations, were gathered unto their fathers. They all died. That whole generation was gone. And there arose another what? So these are the children of the people who saw Jericho fall. This is the generation, one generation later. One generation later. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he has done. Didn't know the Lord, didn't know his power, and the fall of them was great. They didn't know what they believed. One of the things, you know, we've been talking about, Pastor Rhonda has on her heart, is this Robert Travis, our torch ministers, is making sure this generation knows God, knows his power and is not ashamed. They know what they believe because the enemy is trying to take away what they believe. Doppelkamm. Hallelujah. From one generation to the next generation. So how many know, what's my heart? That we provide things for that generation. So what's the purpose? I believe the money's going to come. I'm asking you to get involved. I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to look at it. I believe God's going to do a great thing. I believe it's going to happen. We're believing God for $150,000 from the church to do what we need to do. I might need more. I'll tell you later. I'm just telling you right now what I think we need. It's the least amount that we've ever needed to build. But I'm telling you, I don't want anybody to lay down. I don't want anybody to lay out. I want you to believe God with me. I want us to be in unity and one accord. But if you know the purpose of something, then you can keep it on track and you can believe for it. The Lord gave me a threefold purpose for this new building. Number one, fellowship. Number two, outreach. And number three, it's for this next generation. And so if we can do those things and know those things and believe God together, I believe God's going to do some great things. I believe it'll be done. And to his praise, to his glory, to his honor. And I believe that he's pleased. I know it's time. And I believe this is the way the Lord instructed us to do it. And so, and I, when I say the Lord instructed, please don't take that lightly. I don't throw that around. The Lord told me, the Lord said. I just don't throw that around. I believe this is the right thing to do with the right people to do it. It's working out just like I saw in my heart a number of years ago. And just to my amazement almost, watching God work. And I believe there's going to be a blessing. And I believe it's time to do it now. And I believe it's the plan of God. So I just want you to agree with me, join with me. Father, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for the purpose that you have for this building, but also the purpose for our life. So I pray that you reveal to them and show them their purpose as individuals, to have fellowship one with another, to be a person of reaching out, to be a person who wins souls, and also to be a person who transfers what you've given them to the next generation, whether they have their own kids or what, that they'll be involved in some way, shape, form, or fashion to transfer what they've learned unto the next generations. And so, Father, I thank you for your help. I ask you to lead, direct each and every person. And I thank you for your presence today. I thank you for your power today, that you've delivered many, that you changed some people's life. Depression is gone. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your love. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.